Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When you stand on Mars Hill in Athens, you're standing where history happened. Paul the Apostle stood on that same rock, telling philosophers of his day about the true God. They were the intellectual cream of the crop, but in Paul, they found their match. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the legacy of a converted man. Turn to Acts chapter 17 as Dr. Lutzer tells us more about witnessing for Christ.
So God doesn't need us. He's certainly not dependent on us. He was fully satisfied, and now Paul goes on to say he is purposeful, and by that I mean, verse 26, he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth. Having determined the allotted periods, that has to do with the seasons, and even the boundaries of their dwelling place, God determined that Ham, the three sons of Noah, Ham would go to Egypt, Shem would go to the Middle East, and Japheth would go to Europe. All that was within God's determined plan. Why did Paul mention to the Athenians that God created from one man everyone who is born and lives? The reason for that is because the Athenians were very, very proud. They believed that they were unique. Everybody else was a barbarian. I wasn't going to tell you this, but a little bit of humor sometimes comes to mind. I was in Barbados many years ago. And when you're in Barbados, you are speaking to Barbadians, and I called them barbarians. I've never been invited back. I apologized profusely, and of course they forgave me, I think. But the Athenians, we are special people. No. God created everybody from one man, and we could say one woman, to be upon the face of the earth. So you actually share the humanity of the people that you despise. And God has his hand in human history. He's purposeful in his creation. Obviously, he's a personal God. He's not at some kind of an impersonal force, as some people believe, but he is rather a personal God. And he's also a God who reveals himself, and he did this and a lot of other things, that they should seek God, verse 27, in the hope that they might grope their way or feel their way toward him and find him. Now, how should pagans find God? First of all, they should find him in nature. You cannot for a moment look at nature and walk out under the stars and see anything about the planets and their accuracy and how, if they were in a different position, we couldn't live. Surely that tells you there's a God who has intelligence, design, and purpose, all right? But there's another way, and that is conscience. Conscience tells you that there's God. That's why man is incurably religious. You go all over the world and he's religious because people want to put a lid on it. They want to stifle it. But in your heart, you know that there is a God. Even the most committed atheist knows that there is a God. And then, of course, beyond that, there is the special revelation of Jesus Christ. But Paul here quotes their poets, Epimenides, "For in him we live and move and have our being." And Aratus wrote, "For we are his offspring." Notice how Paul is willing to make a point of contact with pagan poets. It doesn't mean he agreed with everything that these guys wrote, but he snatches something from it to connect with his audience so that they might know that he knows. And really, there is sometimes secular evidence for spiritual realities. Paul was not hesitant to use it when it served his purpose. And then Paul says that God will judge the world. Now he gets to the gospel. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver. I want to stop. God is not like the conception of God you have in your own mind. A very immoral man was being interviewed on TV that I saw, and he said, "My God doesn't mind my lifestyle." Really? Amazing. How would you know that? That's the question I'd have wanted to ask him. Did your God reveal himself to you? No, isn't it amazing that when we come up with our own idols, they are very manageable. And our own idols have this peculiar characteristic of always agreeing with us. If you have a God who always agrees with you, I can tell you, you don't have the true God. I can assure you of that. So Paul says he's not like the imagination of man. You'll notice it there. The times of ignorance God overlooked. In other words, Jesus hadn't come. It doesn't mean that it was all forgotten, but there's no doubt God was more lenient, because remember, responsibility is based on knowledge. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given us assurance by raising him from the dead, the man Jesus. You say, well, why doesn't he mention Jesus' name? Earlier, when he's at the Areopagus and in the marketplace, it says he preached Jesus and the resurrection. But it's clear that he's referring to Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. And God has fixed a day when he is going to judge the world in righteousness. Now notice, when he says this, he is going against the Epicureans, who believe that when you die like a dog. There's no existence beyond. Oh yeah? You're going to meet God. As it says in the book of Hebrews, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And then to the Stoics, you know, oh, my soul is going to be absorbed into the grand pantheistic divine, whatever that means. You are going to stand before God, and you are going to be judged by him. Immediately, we think of a problem we have, and that's called sin. Now, you know that I stay out of politics, but I do know what's going on. I don't know what you think about Donald Trump, and I also know that this sermon may be listened to in years to come, so I need to explain that while it is being preached, Trump is making headlines. I never thought of saying this before, but you could say he's trumping a lot of other people. Did you see the interview he had with Anderson Cooper the other day? Cooper asked him, "Have you ever had to ask God for forgiveness?" And I'm paraphrasing here. This is not a direct quote, but it is the essence. "Well, you know, if I did something wrong, I'd ask for forgiveness, but I can't think of anything that I've done that is wrong. I've always tried to do the right. And by the way, I'm rich." And Cooper asked him, "Have you ever had to repent?" Well, he said, "I take the cracker and the wine in church." But he said, "I've always tried to do everything right. You know, if there was something I needed to repent for, I think I would." Here's the thought that came to mind. The larger your ego, the smaller your God. All right? Do we have a witness to that? Now let's talk about you. And let me say this, that you who are sitting there, perhaps arms folded, content with your own private view of God. The reason you can live with yourself is because your ego is so ingrained, and if I might say it, you are so filled with self-righteousness that you can't see the forest for the trees. You really can't. You know, many people think, oh, if God showed up, I'd high-five him. I would hug him. I'd say, God, great to see you. What were you doing back there when I was suffering? You look at the Bible. Isaiah, in the presence of God, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell within a city of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I preached messages on the book of Job this past week. That was my series. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye sees thee, and I repent in dust and ashes. I don't want to be too hard on you, but I do want to be clear. Who do you think you are if you can come up with your own conception of God and be satisfied with it? It's not the God of the Bible. All right, my friends, you need to respond to this message. This is Pastor Lutzer. Two categories of people have just heard the words that I preached here at the Moody Church. On the one hand, there are those of you who have believed on Jesus Christ, and I'll talk to you in just a moment. But first of all, those of you who are skeptical, those of you who keep Jesus Christ at arm's length, would you consider the claims of Jesus Christ even as the philosophers did when they were on Mars Hill with the Apostle Paul? Would you recognize that your mind, and certainly not my mind, we are simply not capable of coming up with a conception of God that is worthy of him, or for that matter, that actually fits him? For that, we go to the Scriptures. Receive Christ as Savior, because he is our connection to God, and he actually made the statement that if you see me, you see the Father. Wow. And now for those of you who know Christ as Savior, you say, well, Pastor Lutzer, how do I witness? Paul preached on Mars Hill. I can't preach. I understand. Let me suggest to you that today you ask someone this question. Tell me where you are on your spiritual journey. Let people talk. Ask them questions. Come to understand them, and God is going to give you an opportunity to speak the word of God into their lives, if only you have the faith and the patience. We don't go around buttonholing people about the gospel. We wait for God to lead us to people, and we discover that in their hearts he has already worked. Today, ask someone, where are you on your spiritual journey?
Erwin Lutzer with more of Witnessing for Christ, another message on the legacy of a converted man. Paul took a stand for the ages atop Mars Hill. Next time, how you and I can be as bold as Paul. This series on the life of Paul can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For all the details, call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.